6 seconds left. Halla gets it up top. Marcius over to the right. Big shot! Score! Shea Theodore! Vegas takes the lead 4-3! 2.3 to go! Perron to the circle. He shoots and scores! David Perron wins it! Up top for Kopitar. Feet to the right. Shot! Stopped by Fleury!
Shea Theodore is fourth and a huge hit by McNabb. He leveled Arvidsson. Wow.
Here's Howell into the zone. Howell left side, drop pass, big shot, score! That's John Merrill! Merrill puts Vegas on top, 2-1!
And welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. Tuesday night at T-Mobile Arena, Chicago Blackhawks coming to town to face your Vegas Golden Knights. Chicago 24-24 and 8, 56 points on the ledger. Golden Knights 36-15 and 4, 76 points. Third time Golden Knights are going to see the Chicago Blackhawks. Clayton Hamilton here along with Frank Harness, Chris Chapman behind the board. And Frank, I for some reason have a hunkering for a slice of deep dish kielbasa pizza.
Kielbasa pizza?
Isn't that a Chicago thing? Kielbasa and deep dish pizza?
Well, I mean,
smash them together.
Deep
fusion
dish pizzas. I mean, I haven't had deep dish kielbasa, but I've had deep dish pizza before. But no, I like the thin crust, the deep dish, whatever, Italian beefs, whatever. Love the Chicago food. But food is better than the Blackhawks are playing lately. I just watched the game last night with a friend who's in from out of town for the game. He came into town for it. And probably the worst performance I've seen the Blackhawks play in the last 10 years of watching Blackhawk games. They looked horrible last night. They had 37 shots on goal, but as Gerard Gallant likes to say, they didn't get dirty in front of the net and cause a lot of activity there. So Antti Raanta, the former Blackhawk goaltender, had kind of an easy time of it, I thought, last night. Blackhawks not playing well, losing 6-1 to the worst team in the NHL.
Marantis turning away 37 of 38 shots, but like you said, a lot of them really clean looks.
Yeah, and the one goal that they did get was by the Blackhawks candidate for Rookie of the Year, Alex DeBrincat, but he will not be Rookie of the Year, but he is their best rookie. But they are a team that's struggling right now. Defensively, they don't look very good. Offensively, they look completely just out of sorts. And Joel Quenneville, to me, it looks like, I don't know if he's lost the team or if the team has kind of given up on this season after winning 3 Stanley Cups. I'm sure it's difficult to play a season when you're not going to make the playoffs, and right now the Blackhawks look like a team that is definitely not going to make the playoffs. 10 points out, I believe, of the last wild card. A lot of teams to jump over, a 6-game losing streak. This is the worst Hawks team I have seen in a long, long, long time.
I watched the post-game press conference with Coach Quenneville last night, and I expected to get some good sound and have some fire, but it almost was a speech of resignation.
And that's what it seems like. It seems like the whole team has just quit. I mean, some of the younger guys are still out there. Wingles is actually throwing his body around and hitting. There was a couple fights, but the Blackhawks had a lot of power plays last night, so they can't blame the officiating whatsoever. They are just not firing. They look out of sorts. And every time Patrick Kane touches the puck, guys just come and muscle him off it, and his teammates aren't coming and helping him out. He's a magician with the puck when he has room and space to maneuver. Teams are not allowing him to get that, and other guys are not stepping up their game, so he looks lost. Toews is not having a good season, and Toews isn't usually a gigantic point scorer in the first place. Hossa, of course, is gone, and the injury to Corey Crawford is gigantic. I know a lot of people don't think Corey Crawford's a big part of the Blackhawks Stanley Cup teams that they've had in the past. He absolutely 100% is. Jeff Glass looked horrible last night. Forsberg came in and looked just as bad. I don't know who gets to start for Chicago tonight. They might pull a lucky seat winner or something like that and bring him down, because they might have as much of an opportunity. The one thing I do not expect to see is Corey Crawford rushed back at any time, because right now at this point of the season, there's no reason to do that. Corey Crawford's a great goalie, but he gets injured all the time, and the Blackhawks, without Scott Darling or Antti Raanta or other goalies that they've had in the past that have been good backups, right now they don't have one.
They have lots of trouble indeed for the Blackhawks. This will be the third meeting between the two franchises. Golden Knights holding a 2-0 advantage.
Going for the sweep.
Yep, going for the sweep. January 5th, 5-4 victory in Chicago back on October 24th. It is a 4-2 victory for the Golden Knights here at T-Mobile Arena. And it is time for your Vegas Golden Knights preview, brought to you by Rakeman Plumbing and Air Conditioning, where a flush beats a full house every time. And sweep is the order of the day, Frank. Golden Knights looking to finish off the Blackhawks and bring the brooms out.
Yeah, and they very well might. I was mentioning the other goalies. Anton Forsberg, 25-year-old goaltender. Now, he's still young, so he could turn into a decent goalie. But this season for the Hawks, 5-10-3 with a 3.05 goals against. He was expected to get the start tonight. I don't know if he will or not, but Jeff Glass, a 32-year-old who's never played in the NHL before this season, he's 3-5-3 with a save percentage below 900. So which bottle of poison do you want to put in net for the Blackhawks if you're Chicago?
And they both played about even time last night, right?
They are just not playing well. I mean, they're not playing well, but I will say this for the goaltenders. The defensemen are not helping them out. Brent Seabrook has a gigantic contract. I think he's still got 6 years left on it. He's not living up to it. Duncan Keith has lost his step. He might be one of the 100 greatest hockey players of all time. You can argue that, but he may or may not be. But he's not playing that way right now. Again, with Hossa not playing this whole season, that hurts him on the offensive side, along with Kane and Taze having down years. They have a lot of youngsters in there. And yet this team still has a problem with the salary cap because of the salary they've given a bunch of these guys. And they are missing Artemi Panarin, Nicholas Hjalmarsson, other guys on this team. Bringing in Saad and Patrick Sharp again, thinking that they could find that fountain of youth and bring back the players that helped them win Stanley Cups. Those guys are not the players they used to be. This team is in disarray. We talked about it before the season started. I told people that. They thought, oh, you're just a paranoid Blackhawk fan. Well, no, I was being realistic because I looked at the team that I thought was going to be on the ice. I didn't know they'd be this bad. I thought they might be fighting for that wild card. Right now, they're not even fighting, and it looks like the fight's out of them at this point. Maybe tonight they get that back class. Maybe losing an Arizona 6-1 makes them embarrassed, and they come out with guns a-blazing tonight because they don't want to get swept by this expansion team. But last night, they showed to me nothing.
That question will be answered probably in the first 10 minutes they come out, Monster or Oyster. Tonight, we'll find that out at T-Mobile Arena.
And remember this, too. The first time that they played at T-Mobile, the Blackhawks did score first in that game, and then they kind of went to sleep after that.
Yeah, gave up four unanswered before getting a late goal to make it 4-2. But on the Golden Knights side, things haven't been going swimmingly since the break, just a .500 team.
Yeah, and again, now they've had a six-game road trip in there where they were actually two games over .500, 4-2 on the road trip. So, you know, that was pretty good. They have been up and down a little bit, and they've won so many games that a lot of people don't necessarily notice it. And I know other teams in the league say, well, everybody goes through a slump, but except the Golden Knights have. Well, this is as close as we've seen to this team slumping. They've won back-to-back, or they've lost back-to-back home games for the first time this year. Now, granted, the last one was the first game after that long road trip, so there was a lot of time in between them, but they have lost the last two times they played at T-Mobile Arena. So you're right. Things are not going swimmingly. I think they're still a good team. They don't seem to be playing the full 60 minutes every game right now. They seem to have a period where they go through a slump. Pittsburgh looked good. Then they kind of went through it, and they gave up five consecutive goals. The Calgary game, they stole 2 points in that one. Minnesota, they just kind of didn't show up. I mean, there's been a lot of games. Washington, they won the game, but they came from behind over and over and over again. So there have been periods like that. But you know what? There's so much parity in the NHL. I still think they're playing pretty good hockey, but they're playing closer to the hockey we expected at the start of the season now than they were before. I think a lot of teams have some video on them now. They're not sneaking up on anybody anymore, and they have game plans on how to beat the Golden Knights. Now I'm curious to see what adjustments the Vegas Golden Knights make to try to offset that kind of stuff, because other teams do at least have books on how to beat them. It might not always work, but it has worked for some of the teams recently.
And they are starting to see teams that second, that third time, like we mentioned with Chicago today. There is some help, though, on the horizon for the Golden Knights. We saw Tomasz Nosek at practice yesterday, and he was back again at it today. Had the red sweater off, was in normal attire. Head coach Gerard Gallant said he's going to be back in the lineup tonight, and Leipzig going to sit out.
Yeah, and I, nothing against Leipzig, but I really like that move. I think Tomas Nosek, he's been a huge loss for the Vegas Golden Knights. Carrier, I think, is a huge loss when he comes back. That's a big up. We saw Marilyn Spezza. They look like they're getting ready to come back soon. So like you said, there is some help on the horizon, and it's not like the sky is falling type scenario, but right now they're kind of playing like the rest of the teams in the Pacific and not the team that's been 10 points ahead for so long that they're just kind of cruising along a little bit. I don't know if they're looking in their rearview mirror at the Pacific or if they're looking at the Winnipegs and the Nashvilles and that in the Central, because they want to have the best record in the West. Right now, they look real good if you just look at the Pacific standings. But for the supremacy in the West, there's a lot of teams chomping at their heels.
And it's still work to be done when it comes to home ice advantage in the Western Conference. Head coach Gerard Gallant, noncommittal today at the press conference, Frank, when talking about where Nosek would fit in and what that would do to the rest of the lines. We know that Nosek and Belmar are going to play together. We would imagine Ryan Carpenter is going to draw the assignment with them, but he said it could still be Alex Tuch. He's tinkering around with who's going to be on line three and who's going to be on line four.
And you know what? With Gerard Gallant, there's the possibility that maybe what lines are in the first period aren't the same as in the second or the third or something, because he has been known to make in-game adjustments before as well. Maybe that's one of the reasons he was non-committal. Maybe he didn't want the Blackhawks to know exactly what he was going to do, and he knows that as soon as he mentions it, in this world of social media and that everybody in that media room is going to be, we're going to talk about it on our show. Everybody else is going to be tweeting it out or sending it out via social media or something like that. So why not keep the Hawks guessing a little bit? And, you know, if you can keep something under wraps a little bit, you do it. That's why the NHL has an upper and lower body injury, and they don't give a lot of details on that kind of stuff. They are not like some of the other leagues where you have to say everything that's going on. And we know there's cheating and lying in that league. In the NHL, you don't have to cheat and lie. You just don't have to be forthright and give all the info.
And Gerard Gallant certainly did not. We would expect, though, I think that probably Belmar with Nosek and Carpenter.
That's what I would think, too.
With Tuch and Lindberg. But we had the opportunity, and at least you did, Frank, to sit down a little bit with Ryan Carpenter, get to know him. He's a guy that we've seen, and he's played a lot on the road. We haven't gotten to spend a whole lot of time with him. You sat down with him earlier today and asked him if he's starting to feel more comfortable with his playing time and his role on this team.
Yeah, I think you watch the games I wasn't playing, you try to watch the systems and watch the way the team plays, but yeah, it doesn't really compare to when you're out there on the ice. So yeah, I feel like I've been getting more and more comfortable, and probably helps the longer you play with certain players, you just get comfortable with each other and get some chemistry.
The fact that you have played with a lot of different players out there, does that make it a little bit more difficult, or do you just kind of fit in with whatever line you're on?
I don't know. I try not to overthink it too much, try to talk a lot and communicate with them, but I don't know, at the end of the day, like, you can only control so much and control the energy you bring each shift, and so I try to do that.
I know when you first got the call up here, you were in San Jose. You found out that Vegas really wanted you really badly. What was that feeling like when you came here, and did you have preconceived notions about what Vegas was like, and what do you think now that you've actually been out here for a while?
Yeah, maybe just having an eight-month-old boy and having a wife. You probably just hear about the Strip, and my wife and I had been to Vegas before, and that's where we stayed at. But, yeah, man, the people here in Vegas are awesome. The fans are awesome, and man, there's so much to do here just besides the Strip, and we love being here, and just love the fact that I got a second opportunity in the NHL and to be part of a winning team and a team that has fun and works hard every day. It's fun.
You're just coming off that long six-game road trip, but now you've started a seven-game homestand. What was that like being on the road? Was it a bonding experience with the rest of your teammates a little bit, and how good does it feel to be back here at T-Mobile?
Yeah, it's always good when you get the time on the plane and playing cards and hanging out in the hotel room and going out to dinner and stuff. You definitely get to know your teammates a lot better than maybe when there's a homestand. And yeah, when we're home, I mean, we didn't have the result we wanted 2 days ago, but you got to take advantage of these homestands and jump on teams that are traveling and have the tougher schedule. So hopefully we're able to do that tonight against Chicago.
You've got Chicago tonight. They're struggling right now. They looked really bad last night against the Arizona Coyotes, but this is a team with a lot of back class and Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, a lot of talent still. Is it almost that they're more dangerous because they haven't been playing their best hockey right now?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, anytime you look at the guys in their lineup, you may not even look at the record. It looks like a dangerous team. So we're not going to take these guys lightly tonight at all. And I'm sure them losing last night, they're going to want to have a bounce back game. So it should be a good game tonight.
I know nobody here in Vegas on the Vegas Golden Knights is talking about the playoffs and that, but you could have a nice lead in the Pacific, but there's a lot of other teams that you're challenging with from the Central Division and over in the East, obviously. When you came to this team, did you envision that they would be this good, and what do you think about all your teammates?
Yeah, when I came here, they were already in first, and I had played against them and saw how good they were probably firsthand. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't really – I kind of expected them to just continue to keep winning. And – what was the other question you had?
How was it like playing with this team and your teammates and everything? Because these guys were kind of thrown together, but the chemistry and everything really seems to have gotten together.
Yeah, everyone has something to prove. Like me coming over here, it's a second chance. For some guys, it's a second chance. For other guys, it's a fresh opportunity or more playing time. And we have a fun group. Guys have fun coming to the rink every day and practicing and keep it loose, but also work really hard. So, man, it's always fun to be in a locker room, especially when you're winning. And like you said, being in first right now in the Pacific, we don't want to be content with that. We want to win the West, and we want to win the league.
That was Ryan Carpenter, and it was the first time we really got to spend any time with him, Frank, and he is the blueprint for the kind of player that George McPhee and Gerard Gallant love.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, too, because when they made the announcement that they were picking him up, and a lot of people kind of had to look him up a little bit because they didn't know that much about him. He certainly wasn't a star in San Jose. He didn't get necessarily a lot of playing time. He actually thought that he might be going back down to the AHL team in San Jose there, the Barracudas. And instead, he got the word that he was coming to Vegas, and then he found out, and we all found out, that George McPhee was looking at this guy for a while. They even made the statement that they were actually kind of upset that he wasn't available during the expansion draft because that's how highly they thought of him. So when he came here, it was a little bit different scenario because he was going from a place where he thought he might be going back down to the minors to a place where they made no bones about it. They've been looking at him for a while, and they were really happy to get him. And the more I see of Ryan Carpenter on a night-to-night basis, a game-to-game basis, the more I understand what George McPhee saw and the more that I really like this guy's game. He's full on effort. He's a 200-foot player, and he will bring whatever stick or whatever he needs to play whatever role you need him to do there. I think he's been a really nice addition, and I think the more comfortable he gets, he's just going to get that much better.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in Las Vegas. Talking Ryan Carpenter, a guy that is willing to go to the front of the net, willing to go to the dirty areas of the ice, willing to mix it up a little bit. We'll see a face wash or two from him after the whistle. We'll see the willingness to stand up for some of the guys like Perron or Halla or anybody that's going to get banged around a little bit. He'll go out and make his presence known.
Yeah, and I think Vegas on a whole right now, and I mean not to rip him or find anything negative, but I think they need a little bit more of that dirty, mean type of player out there right now. There are a bunch of nice guys. Ron Carpenter's a super nice guy. But on the ice, sometimes you got to get a little bit nasty. You got to get dirty. Get in the crease. Make some things happen. If a guy cross-checks you, give him a smack back. Not so much that you get a penalty or something like that for it, but we've seen a lot of games where there's very few penalties called. The referees are letting some things go. So, you know, dish it out a little bit, too. Get in there, make it difficult on the other team's goalie and see what happens. I don't know what goalie's going to be in for Chicago tonight, especially after last night. Joe Quenneville might just do a coin flip to try to figure out who the heck he's going to play in goal. But whoever it is there, get in front of them, make it difficult because they're not playing with a lot of confidence right now. Hit them hard, hit them early, and hit them often.
Marc-Andre Fleury expected in net tonight. He was the first off the ice at practice. Max Lagasse will be the backup this evening, but more help is coming. We saw John Merrill working out yesterday in the red jersey. Lucas Spezza as well. Both of those guys back out at practice today. And Lucas Spezza, one of the guys that I think we haven't seen him in so long, we forget that he's one of those guys that will step in and get a little bit dirty at the end of a play as well.
Yeah, he will definitely get dirty. He's a big body, a big presence. He's a physical guy out there. Merrill's also got a pretty good size at him, and that's where he can do a lot of things. So, yeah, those are guys. And the other thing that it does, too, it gives you a chance. And I know Gerard Gallant's asked about it. He was asked about it again today in the media conference where, well, you have all these games coming up every other day. And he was like, look, every team in the league has it. Look at everybody's schedule. This is the busy time, the point for everything. But the healthier you get, the more you can give so-and-so a healthy scratch day or a day of rest even during a game day. And you can also do matchups a little bit. Maybe Spezza works one game better than somebody else. Maybe somebody else is in there. You can kind of mix and match and pick players by a game-to-game basis. We know certain guys and certain lines are going to be there all the time. But if somebody needs a rest or they start to get wore down or they have just a little nagging injury but not really something that's going to keep them out a while, you can afford them that rest. Obviously, the healthier you get, the better. But especially the healthier you get with quality players like those guys.
Yeah, certainly, and it'll be nice to see Merrill and Spezza back. Spezza has done so well at the beginning of the season on that top defensive line, and it'll be good to see him back. And a guy like Merrill, it's good that you bring up his size, because he's so slender that you forget that he really is. He's a tall guy, and he has pretty good leverage. And it's not just about banging with John Merrill. It's about what Braden McNabb does with his stick and breaking up those passing lanes.
Yeah, and it's also about positioning. John Merrill's pretty good about using his body to know that, and maybe I'm not big enough to knock this guy necessarily off the puck, but kind of like boxing out in basketball. If you're not as big as the other guy, if you get the right position and you put your body in there and you know how to leverage it and use it, you can use it to effectiveness. And that's what Merrill does. And the other thing that Merrill does, when the games that he has been in there, he plays a solid defense. He got the big goal that we hear on the opening of the show every day, but that's not his what he's necessarily known for. He's a good, solid defenseman. And when he's been in there, more often than not, they've won the games. He is a big part. Just because some of these numbers don't jump off the stat sheet at you doesn't mean they're not doing a good job. That's exactly the type of player that Nicklas Hjalmarsson was with the Chicago Blackhawks. He didn't have a ton of goals. He didn't have a ton of assists, but he played defense and did his job, and the Hawks won 3 Stanley Cups because of stuff like that. John Merrill's not going to have numbers that's going to make you go, oh my gosh, they got to sign this guy because he's a goal-scoring machine. But when you look at his overall play and what he does, he knows how to play hockey, and he knows his strengths and weaknesses. When you play within your game and you have a pretty darn good game, you can still be very effective. And I think Merrill's shown that in the games he's played.
Certainly has. He's one of the guys that gets the transition game going, and it doesn't really matter sort of what the rest of the league thinks or anyone else, because Kelly McCrimmon and George McPhee believe in him. That's why they gave him the 2-year extension at over $1 million+.
And his teammates and the other goalies that he's playing in front of believe in him, and that's huge.
And that certainly is. So it'd be good to get both of those guys back, and like you said, give other guys a little bit of a rest. Well, this just in, a little news. Been handed a little sheet of paper that says we've got tickets to give away today, so we will do that. Those tickets are going to be for the Edmonton game on Thursday.
We need to beat them, man.
Edmonton had the number thus far, so our third crack at Edmonton. Hopefully this will be the big one. So we will have some tickets to give away later today. When we come back, Frank and I are going to take a look at the NHL's 3 Stars of the Week, check some news out, not just around the NHL, but what's happening over in Korea in the Olympic hockey tournament as well. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Knights hockey in the Valley. Welcome back. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, game number 56 tonight. Blackhawks and the Vegas Golden Knights. 6:30 for the pregame show, 7 o'clock for puck drop. Frank Harnish and I will be there all the way for you on the pregame show, the intermission report, the postgame show as well, coming to you from T-Mobile Arena as the Blackhawks come to town for their second and final time of the season. Golden Knights looking for the sweep. There's some news out there in the NHL, Frank, and we just had something came across the ticker during the commercial break from Philadelphia, breaking news for the Flyers.
Yes, for Flyer fans, get used to Mr. Neuvirth in net for you, because Elliott out 5 to 6 weeks with a core muscle surgery. Don't know exactly what that entails. There's a lot of different things that they could potentially be, but Elliott going to miss the next 5 to 6 weeks for a team that has moved all the way up to third place in the Metropolitan, but just a point behind Pittsburgh, a couple behind Washington, right in the thick of the playoff hunt. Now they're going to see if they can do it without their number one goaltender.
And Michael Neuvirth certainly played well while here in Vegas. If they get that kind of effort out of him over the next few weeks, they should be fine. But then you have to think about, well, who comes up and backs up Neuvirth?
Yeah, and not only do you have to think about that, but you also have to think a lot of guys do really good in a backup role when they know they get a start here and there, as the Carolina Hurricanes found out with Mr. Scott Darling this year. When a guy is called the goalie and the man, sometimes they're not as well, and they wilt under that spotlight a little bit. So we'll see what happens with Neuvirth, but certainly played well here against the Vegas Golden Knights, but I think he's about to get an opportunity, a big opportunity for a team that really wants to make the playoffs. And they're a good team, but they've kind of been up and down as far as making the playoffs the last couple years.
There has been a pretty bad year, Frank, for goaltenders. They seem to be on the injury news just about every day. That continues for New Jersey Devils goaltender Corey Schneider. He will be out at least the rest of the week because of a hip and groin injury that he sustained when they played the Bruins back on January 23rd. He's missed the last eight games, but they finally decided they needed his roster spot and have placed him on injured reserve retroactive to the day of the injury.
Yeah, and Snyder's one of those guys. He's one of the big reasons that New Jersey's had the success that they've had up to this point of the season. He had mentioned in the offseason that he was looking at a lot of game footage and that, and he wasn't necessarily happy with his play and his conditioning, so he really worked out incredibly hard to get in shape and get ready for this season. He came out a different goalie. He was good before. He's been very, very good this season. But certainly New Jersey Devil fans would like him back as soon as possible. But again, that's that fine line of thing of you don't want to rush him back too soon because you need him for the playoffs. But you also don't want to wait too long because you want to get into the playoffs.
You may find this hard to believe, Frank, but there is more injury news for goaltenders. This time in Calgary, the Flames goaltender Mike Smith will miss at least two games because of a lower body injury, beginning with their game against Boston this evening.
Yeah, and Mike Smith, another big part of the success that his team has had. So Mike Smith has been around a while. He's been having a good season this year. Day-to-day, I guess, missing 2 days. It sounds like he's almost ready, but it also sounds like they're pretty much saying, you know what, we're not going to rush him back either because we're going to need him. They're in a pretty good position right now for their playoff spot.
They are 4-1 over their past five games, third in the Pacific Division. And David Ritchie, who's going to come in, has played well for them. He's 5-1-2 with a .220 goals against average, .927 save percentage.
Yeah, when you got a goalie that's 5-1-2, that makes it a little bit easier to give your other goalie some time and see if he is a serviceable goaltender. Because as we've seen in the past, as we saw last year with the Pittsburgh Penguins, you don't necessarily win a Stanley Cup with just one really good goaltender. Matt Murray went down. Marc-Andre Fleury was there to get them ready. Then when Murray came back, they won their second of consecutive back-to-back Stanley Cups. Generally, in this day and age, you don't get it done with just one goaltender. You need depth at that position. We saw that in Vegas earlier this year. They went all the way down to a number five goaltender, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they did. And Max Legacy, he looked really good at practice today. We haven't had the opportunity to talk with him. He's not been made available over the last 2 days, but we saw him in the individual drills. And any question marks I think he had about whether or not he can compete at this level, when he went back down to Chicago, he had said a lot of the things that Dave Pryor had said to him had really resonated with him. Rocky Thompson had commented on that as well, that he came back a different goaltender than he left. He certainly feels like at least that he belongs here.
Yeah, he got his cup of coffee here, and he felt comfortable with it. The more you get, the more, you know, when you're winning games, then it certainly makes it a lot easier. We don't know exactly what's going on with Malcolm Subban, but I'm curious to see Max get in a game again. I'm also curious to see when Oscar Dansk is ready and when he gets a little bit of time in Chicago coming up as well, because remember, as good as the goaltending's been, the answer to the trivia question, who had the first shutout in Vegas Golden Knights history, will forever be Oscar Dansk.
And when you think back to that first game against the Blackhawks on October 24th, that was Oscar Dansk. That was his win.
Yeah, and I thought he played very well. And that's not a slight on Legacy or Malcolm Subban or anybody else. I really liked Oscar Dansk. We talked about him in the preseason and that I thought that he was a guy who really looked like a potentially good goalie. So it looks like the goaltending chores could be solid around here for a while. But, of course, Marc-Andre Fleury is the go-to man right now.
Right, and with the games every other day, we expect to see a lot of Marc-Andre Fleury on this homestand. The NHL's three stars of the week are out, Frank. Would you like to begin with star number one or star number three?
Let's go three. Let's do the countdown.
Backwards.
Do the countdown.
Well, we got another goaltender to talk about, and that's in Minnesota, Devan Dubnyk. He went 2-0-1 with a .196 goals against average, .950 save percentage, and one shutout as the Wild got 5 of a possible 6 points this week.
Well, we certainly know that Minnesota looked good when they played against Vegas not too long ago in Minnesota. Devan Dubnyk is one of those big guys like a lot of the goalies today. They list him at like 6'5", 6'6". He's one of the guys that he came out of the gate really fast last year. Then when they shrunk the pads a little bit, it seemed to get in his head. But now this season, as he's getting more comfortable in that, when he's on, he's a very good goaltender. Remember last season, Their front office actually said that they thought he was the best goaltender in the entire NHL, better than Carey Price, better than Sergei Bobrovsky, better than anybody else out there. He's a very good goaltender when his game is on, and right now, obviously, his game is on. Should he continue to play this way, and should the Wild get into the playoffs, he could make them one of those teams that, you know, the old cliche of nobody wants to play. If Dubnyk's on his A game, that might be a team that nobody wants to play.
During his shutout against the Blackhawks on February 10th, he turned away 44 shots, which is a franchise record for the Wild for the most saves in a game in which the goaltender got a shutout.
And up in Minnesota, they love beating the Blackhawks, and you know Dubnyk loved beating the Blackhawks. By the way, if the playoffs were to start today, they would be the eighth seed, so they would take on at this point our very own Vegas Golden Knights.
And that's a team also struggled with two losses in two attempts against Minnesota, although they have yet to come to T-Mobile Arena, but two victories for Minnesota up in Minnesota. Second star of the week, Johnny Gaudreau of the Calgary Flames. He placed second in the NHL with 2 goals, 5 assists, 7 points in 4 games to help the Flames to a 3-1 week and move into third place in the Pacific Division.
Johnny Gaudreau, not the biggest guy out there, but certainly one of the young, exciting players in this league. I love watching Johnny Gaudreau play. He's fast. He's skilled. He has a lot of savvy. The more he plays, I think the better he gets. Sometimes he can get banged up or nicked up a little bit here, but he is a fun, exciting player to watch, and one of the reasons that I actually like watching Calgary Flames games, because Johnny Gaudreau, I think, is one of those players out there. Might not have the speed of Connor McDavid, but he's very fast. Might not have the hardest shot in the world, but it's a hard shot. It is an accurate shot. And when he's throwing assists to guys, if you're out there on a line mate with him, you better be ready, or he may make you look bad when something goes right between your legs or something like that, because he might set you up with a pass that other people didn't even see was a possibility.
And he does sit second in the league with 48 assists and 66 points through 56 games. You know what else about him, Frank?
What's that?
He's a heck of a nice guy. He is the reigning Lady Byng Memorial Trophy winner.
No, there you go. So, you know, nice guys don't always finish last.
That's right. And he'd be on Team USA if they were at the Olympics.
Well, that sounds like a topic maybe for a little bit down the road.
Yeah, but we're like 3 minutes from now. First star, Claude Giroux of the Philadelphia Flyers. He had a 3-goal, 3-assist, 6-point week in 4 games to help the Flyers to a perfect week and to move them into third place in the Metropolitan Division.
I am absolutely, completely opposed to that pick because I don't like what he did to Vegas.
Oh, yeah. He roughed up the Knights.
Couturier was really good, but so was he. You could have argued that either one of those two could have been the star of that game, or Neuvirth. Claude Giroux is playing very, very well right now, and he might have been the star last week, but Sunday he was also very good at T-Mobile Arena. It's like, yeah, he was. He's playing. He's another one of the reasons that Philadelphia is where they are and where they're as competitive as they are. Can his play and the other guys on that team be enough to offset the injury to Elliott? We will find that out, I guess, in the next 5 to 6 weeks or whatever. But Claude Giroux, certainly, no, he's deserving of it. I said that tongue-in-cheek. He impressed the heck out of me here. Couturier did as well. Philadelphia has a lot of weapons. When you look at that team and you see them live, mm-hmm. you kind of wonder, why do they struggle making the playoffs every year? But it's because there's a lot of good teams out there, and there's a lot of parity.
I don't know about you, Frank, but I feel like over the past 3 days, we've spent way too much effort talking about Philadelphia.
Man, we're done now.
Done. Until we play them again.
But a lot of it was talking about how nasty their fans are. So, and so that was all legitimized. By the way, I had a couple people last night as I'm watching the Blackhawk-Arizona game mm-hmm. with my friends and that, and I was checking out the Blackhawks for tonight's game. I had a couple people tell me that we weren't nearly hard enough on the Philly fans because they were way worse than we made them out to be.
That's good. We had struggled with how far we could go with that talk. So it's good to know out there that it was okay by you that we went bad after Philly.
Here we're thinking, are we getting people mad? And they're like, you weren't near hard enough. They were way worse than you guys made it out to be. It's like, all right.
You know, I am proud of you, Las Vegas. And I don't know whoever it was that came up to Frank the other night and said that, but good on you.
So
I'm proud of you.
I was like, okay, well, I'll keep that in the memory bank for next time.
there was a record-setting day at the Pyeongchang Olympics in the hockey tournament, Frank.
I love the Olympics. I've been watching as much as we can. Of course, Golden Knights take precedent over everything, but watching the skiing and the speed skating and even some of the figure skating and that, but some of the women's hockey. I'm enjoying women's hockey more this year than I ever have
in
the past.
It is. A lot of speed, and the talent gap is shrinking between the United States, Canada, and the rest of the world, but history was made in Team USA's 5-0 win over the Olympic athletes from Russia as three-time Olympian.
Yes?
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I'm like.
You're on. Jocelyn Lamoureux Davidson. She scored 2 goals in 6 seconds to have the fastest gap or the smallest gap between 2 goals in Olympic tournament history.
So there you go, all you people out there, including myself, that said that women's hockey was a little bit slow and not as entertaining. 2 goals in 6 seconds, that's pretty darn good, and good for you, Jocelyn, setting that record out there for men's or women's Olympic ice hockey.
Right, that is regardless of gender. The old record was held by Carl Goren Oberg at the 1960 Squaw Valley Games.
I believe Team USA won the Squaw Valley Games.
They did.
Yes.
And that was Herb Brooks' team, where he was the last guy cut and had to watch at home as all of his buddies won the gold medal in Squaw Valley.
And that stayed in the back of his crawl for years and years and years until he got to coach a team that believed in miracles.
You know, NBC would have loved the 1960 Squaw Valley Games and the hockey tournament. And do you know why?
I don't, but I assume you're going to tell me.
I am going to tell you. The hockey tournament played outdoors.
Well, that's right. I did see. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
It was an outdoor.
I mean, I didn't see it, but I remember reading about it and hearing
outdoor
about it.
Outdoor hockey at the Olympics. That's to be when they used to have outdoor figure skating and outdoor speed skating as well.
Yeah, so there was no triple axles back then, because if you did one, you might fall down because the wind might blow you over.
It might, and then they were frowned upon jumps back then. It was all about your compulsory figures. Team USA
women. It
was
an elegant sport.
Elegant. Are 2-0 in the tournament. They beat Russia 5-0. They beat Finland 3-1. Canada also 2-0. The ladies 5-0 win over Russia, 4-1 win over Finland. USA and Canada will play tomorrow, February 14th, 11:40 p.m. local Pacific time. So 11:40 late night after your late local news, you can catch Team USA and Canada in the best rivalry in women's hockey in the world.
By the way, how about that controversy that they had about the hockey, about the Statue of Liberty being on the goalie mask? And saying that they finally made a vote and they will allow it, but they were actually talking about not allowing it to happen because the Olympics aren't supposed to be anything political or whatever, and the Statue of Liberty represents political viewpoints and the way of lifestyle in the United States and that. There's a big USA right on the front of the jersey.
Right.
Canada's got the flag and that kind of stuff.
Right.
Everything about the Olympics is political.
There are maple leaves on the Canadian. There's a lion on Finland's. There are
nobody beats a Japanese girl goalie and her goalie mask, though. The Japanese cherry blossoms, that's pretty damn political.
Yeah.
No, not really. But they are. It is cool.
Yeah. But thank goodness at least somebody finally had some common sense and said, shut up and let her wear the mask.
And that's the thing. People always say to the United States, they're like, why don't you act more like the rest of the world? And then when we act like the rest of the world, they still don't like us anyway.
Well, what about the Russian goalie? She's got the old Malcolm Subban where it's just plain white. There's literally nothing on it but a red sticker.
Well, because they're not Russia. They're the Olympic athletes of Russia.
She can still have something on her mask.
By the way, if you're the Olympic athletes of Russia, aren't you Russia?
You know, the best part was is when the IOC was trying to decide whether or not they could regulate if fans from Russia brought the Russian flag into the crowd.
Well, every time I see OAR, I think I'm about to watch a kayaking event or something.
Yeah. It's true.
But anyway.
It's true. I'm with you. There has been a site called Fancy Stats, Frank.
Yes.
By Neil Greenberg, who is the editor of that and the author of this, that was upset that Olympic hockey tournament was going to happen without NHL players.
As we were.
So he put together a fantasy analytics tournament, and he selected all the players from the NHL and then used NHL data and determine what kind of performance they would have in the tournament using all the analytics. And he played the tournament 1,000 times
all right
to decide who would win amongst the NHL players.
And whose national anthem are we hearing? Or are we not hearing any because the Orr squad can't have a national anthem played?
According to Mr. Neil Greenberg, Canada would win 29% of the time, which was the most out of any of the countries, followed by USA at 26%, Russia at 19%, Sweden at 11%, Finland at 10%, and other, which includes the Czech Republic, Slovakia, Slovenia, Switzerland, Germany, and the like, at 6%.
No, I wonder if Vegas sportsbooks are going to start doing this analytic kind of stuff when they're making future odds for Olympic Games or something like that down the road.
I bet that's kind of, they use a lot of that probably to determine
They probably do, because it seems like they, in the old school, they used to kind of go by, you know, gut feeling and this and that and what they see and what they think the public likes. But with analytics and that, and analytics are a huge thing in that. But, you know, in some senses, I'm like, wow, Canada only 29%.
Yeah, that seems
because
low.
Canada seems like, I mean, how often have we heard people say if Canada could have two Olympic teams, they would win gold and silver?
You know what part of the problem might have been is that Corey Crawford was the starting goaltender for Team Canada, and Corey Crawford is injured. So maybe that has something to do with his numbers.
That could be part of it, or maybe it's just that it's an analytical thing, and as they say, that's why they play the game.
That's right. That's why they're not played on paper. Well, if you want to see yourself a real live hockey game at T-Mobile Arena, we have got tickets for you. We have tickets for Thursday's game against the Edmonton Oilers. That begins at 7 o'clock. We are going to give those away now, 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. And Frank, who do you feel should win today?
Let's do number 18, since it's the 2018 Olympics that we're not being part of.
Yes, let's do that. Number 18, you are going to go see the Golden Knights and the Edmonton Oilers, 702-876-1340. When we come back, we are going to take a look at a special date in Boston Bruins history. So we look forward right here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley.
Well, I've been a hockey fan for a long time. When I got to Philadelphia in 1984, you know, I became a big Flyers fan. And when Wayne was the coach here, I came quite a bit. I kind of got mad when they fired Wayne, and I haven't been in a minute. But now they got a friend of mine who's a head coach, Rick Tocchet. I've known Rick Tocchet since the 80s. And I'm really excited he's here. He's a great friend. So now I'm going to start coming back. I was really pissed when they fired Wayne. So I swore off the Coyotes for a long period of time. But now I'm coming back because they got a good friend of mine coaching the team.
And that was the voice of Charles Barkley. Dropped the first puck in Arizona last night for Hockey is for Everybody Month. And
one of the few pucks that Arizona didn't put past the Blackhawk goalie.
That is correct. Rough night for the Hawks.
Hopefully it continues tonight at T-Mobile.
Right, it continues, but always love hearing from Sir Charles. Is a big hockey fan. People thought he was kidding around when he did that bit on NBC last year, but he is friend of the ice, Charles Barkley. You know, Frank, the Vegas Golden Knights have four players with 20 goals this season.
One of only two teams, them and the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Jonathan Marchessault with 20, Eric Howell with 21, James Neal with 24, and William Karlsson with 29, and that's pretty good, but that's nothing in comparison to what the Boston Bruins are celebrating this evening.
Don Cherry, when he was head of the Boston Bruins, said that he knew he had a pretty good team in 77-78. He wasn't exactly how sure or didn't remember until his wife Sherry was looking up. I'm sorry, his wife Luba Cherry was looking it up. Who's not Cherry Cherry, but she was looking it up, and there was actually 11 20 goal scorers on that team, led by Peter McNabb, who had 47 goals, and then 10 other players had Terry O'Reilly, 29, all the way down to Bob Miller, one of the players with 20. So 11 20-goal scorers on the 77-78 Boston Bruins, the most ever on a team in one NHL season.
That is flat getting it done. We hope the Vegas Golden Knights are going to get it done this evening. 7 o'clock puck drop. Frank and I will be with you 6:30 for the pregame show. Going to be a pretty good. We're going to hear from Shea Theodore on the pregame show. We're going to hear from Tomáš Nosek on the pregame show as well. We will see you at 6:30 right here on Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. But stick around. T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next.